Joining me now is Alan Twombly. He is the owner of our local H&R Block, and we're going to talk some taxes, tax changes, things are going on. But first, let's go ahead and get rid of the big thing. You've moved your offices, or your offices are in process of moving.
I hopefully will have it moved by Monday.
By Monday?
From the old location over by the Safeway gas pumps to over in the Dunes.
Village Center.
Center, yeah, which is right there by between Dollar Tree and Subway.
Yeah.
So and a True Value's there, too.
Easy to find. Much more parking available there, too. And much more space within the office itself.
Well, last year I only had 5 tax desks because that's all that would fit in the old location. And I bet you we turned away 200 customers because we just didn't have the room. And so I'm hiring additional staff. And I've got 11 tax desks this year. So I won't have 11 tax, but I'm always, you know, I want to build for growth.
You're always looking. You're always looking. So let's talk about some of the things that happened. The biggest one that affected me this last year, biggest tax change, was the deletion of the penalty for not having health care insurance.
Right. This year, there's no penalty for not having health insurance. But there's a lot of people that should still go through the exchange because they get a supplement, so they don't have to pay for health insurance or it's very low. So if you fall into that category, it's great to go ahead and get it. But there's no penalty anymore for not having it, which some people, it was $1,500, $2,000 penalties or more for not having health insurance.
Well, and the problem was the people it affected the most are the ones that didn't have enough money to buy insurance in the first place. So then they're getting penalized again. Because they don't make enough money.
Right. And that was, I mean, in some cases, it was a lot cheaper, even though the penalty was like, you know, $1,500, $2,000, it was cheaper to pay the penalty than to pay for health insurance they couldn't afford in the first place.
Now, that's one of the major changes. Aside from that, as far as overall tax law, there not a whole lot has happened in the last year?
Not really, not that much, because the last big one was 1986, and then this last year we had another major one. And so it'll probably, this year there might be, we'll see that here toward the end, they haven't really mentioned anything yet, but sometimes there's some fine-tuning and some little tweaking. One thing that we noticed a lot last year is a lot of people that used to itemize, because now at the standard deduction, federal went from $12,000 standard deduction for single or $24,000 for married. They said, oh, I'm not going to keep track of all my expenses, like medical expenses and stuff like that, because it doesn't matter anymore. You know what? Probably 85% of the people that itemized before on Oregon still itemized, because Oregon standard deduction didn't go up. So they could still save thousands of dollars on their Oregon return. So they still want to itemize Oregon only. So make sure that you at least look at it.
So people should still be saving their receipts and saving everything.
Medical expenses. Oregon had, if you're over 65, you don't have that 7.5% or 10% limitation on your medical expenses, stuff like that. So it doesn't hurt to at least look at it and put it in your return, all your deductions.
That's right. Put it in there anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
If it doesn't do anything, it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, one other change that affects a much smaller membership in the population is the alimony and alimony support ruling. How's that going?
So if your divorce was before 21st of 2019, then you'd still get to deduct the alimony if you're paying it, and you'd still have to claim it if you're receiving it. But if the divorce was after that, then you don't get it deducted if you're paying it, and you don't have to claim it as income if you're receiving it. So that's a big one for some people, that they used to be able to write that off, their alimony payments, and then the person receiving it had to claim it as income. But now they don't get it deducted, and the person receiving it gets it. It's like gifts.
Now, recently you were in D.C.
I was.
And you were working with some members of Congress. Tell me a little bit about what transpired there.
Yeah, I did what's called a fly-in. It's the sixth time I've flown into D.C. And it's always consumer protection, some sort of thing that I'm trying to get through. And I went with about 25 other friends that I know, and we fly in there. And I went September 23rd to the 26th. And what we were there for this time was, it's House Resolution 3466, which we're trying to amend the IRS code to clarify the authority of the IRS. And some areas, oh, we don't want to give IRS more authority. What this is for, right now, there's about 760,000 preparers in the United States. About 40 of those, 1,000 of those, IRS knows are bad players. They either do tax returns horribly, or they do identity theft or all sorts of things like that. IRS is not legally allowed to revoke their preparer's license.
Wow.
And so we're working with the House, and we got 7 people to sign on as co-sponsors for the bill. One of them that went on there was one that I actually met with because they just said it made sense. And so hopefully, and that's in the House right now, but it hasn't gone all the way through, and hopefully it gets to the House, and then it has to go on to the Senate. And the Senate has to look at it. I met with a couple senators. In fact, Ron Wyden's aide, I met with, not Ron himself this time. A lot of times I do meet with Ron. And they're looking to co-sponsor it once it gets over to the Senate side. And I don't think we should have a problem getting this through because we're just trying to, like I said, get it so that IRS has the ability to say, hey, Alan, you're a bad player, pull your license or whatever. Because we shouldn't be able, they should be able to take that away. And they don't have the legal right to take away that, which is silly. It sounds crazy, but they don't even have the legal right to do background checks on tax preparers, which we're trying to work on that too, where they can do a background check on every person that when we register. It's called a PTIN, a preparer tax identification number. And every year we renew that. And that's what we're talking about, giving the IRS the right to pull if you're not qualified to be looking. Because when I look at your tax return, I look at everything. I have where you work, your mortgage, your social security number, your kids' names. I have everything I'd need to go have a heyday.
So, yeah, that's probably not a good thing then if someone is a little shady.
Right. Now, I'll tell you, in Oregon, we're fairly well protected because we have what's called the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. And I served on the board for 6 years on that. And they're able to pull Oregon licenses and stuff. But the rest of the United States doesn't have that protection to the extent that we do. There's only five states in the United States, I think, that actually have licenses for tax preparers. So like in the state of Washington, I could go up, hang up a shingle and not know anything about taxes and say, hey, yeah, wait, George, I'll do your tax return for you. And I may know a heck of a lot less than you do, but you wouldn't even know that.
Right.
But in Oregon, you look for LTC or an enrolled agent is a good one when you go nationally. An enrolled agent is somebody that's set before the IRS, taking a test, which is like a 3-4 hour test. And it's not easy.
Yeah. Let's see how much you know about taxes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And like I'm an enrolled agent. I've been one since about 97, 98. So.
Now, how has tax preparation changed in the dawning of the computer age where people can get a software or a program? I mean, even H&R Block has a software program.
If the demand's there, you try to fill the niche. They still say about 70% of the returns done online have some level of error to them. Just it's garbage in, garbage out. It could be the best software in the world. And if you don't understand what the question's asking, how can you answer it correctly?
And it's sometimes difficult to get an answer on the question you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, well, maybe if I could get this clarified, I could understand it. And yet with a live preparer, you just go and say, hey, this is what I'm looking at.
Well, and that's the thing about a live preparer, too. Let's say, George, I'm sitting there talking to you, and you say, oh, yeah, it's just me living at home, and I'm taking care of my mom, too. She's, you know, she can't live by herself anymore, so now she lives at my house with me.
Well, so you have an extra dependent.
So now you're head of household.
Yeah.
Some people think head of household is only have dependent children, but also qualifies for your parents. So all of a sudden I say, George, you're head of household and you get to claim your mother as a dependent on your tax return as long as you're paying over 50% of support, which part of the fair rental value of your home counts towards support and your half your utilities and all the stuff divided by the number of people. So sometimes just that interview process of actually sitting with somebody,
Right. There's
things we go, oh, what? You do this? You're a doctor here in Florence? Did you know you qualify for the special rural medical credit of $5,000 on your tax return? So, because they're trying to get physicians into rural areas.
Right.
So there's things that when we sit with them, like, well, where's your credit? You know, you should have like I said, it's $5,000 credit for people in the medical community in rural areas. So like Reedsport, Florence, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you sit with somebody. Back in the day when I first started, you're saying, how has it changed? When I first started about 21 years ago, people would come in every 3 years and have us do their return. And they'd, because you go back and amend 2 years back. So they'd come in and see if they missed anything. Oh, wow, how long has that been around? And we'll say, oh, it's been around for 2 years. And they'd go back and amend their return. So at least every 3 years, they'd do a quality check. And then they'd see what changes, what we did different than what they were doing. But people stopped doing that. And I don't know why. I mean, but they just didn't realize. They think the software is doing everything right. Mm-hmm. But there's a qualified business income deduction where the businesses got up to 20% of their income taken off their income. You know, that's a new one last year. That was a really big change. If you're a business owner, you could save tons of money.
And a lot of this you don't know unless you're talking with someone.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool. Anything else really quickly before we get going? We're just about out of time.
No, I think that's good. I hope everybody comes to see me. I'll be at 1680 right. Highway 126, the new plaza. And I don't know when we're going to do it yet, but we're going to do a grand opening, and we'll have hopefully free food and stuff like that, and I'll do some giveaways and things like
well,
that.
Well, I'm sure we'll let them know when that happens.
Sounds great.
Alan Twombly, H&R Block, thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
And coming up next, we'll be speaking with Lori Severance, Sisal Valley Fire and Rescue. We'll talk about the new mental health support team.